When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Anne Wynn.
And I'm Penny.
And this is the Cast of the Rings, a podcast dedicated to the Amazon TV show, The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power.
The first two episodes air next weekend, but we thought we would release our first episode now because we can't wait to talk about it.
I am so excited about this. How about you, Penny?
Oh my God. I have watched all the trailers that are available on Amazon Prime, and they are so beautiful. And I got really excited that some of the characters are going to be familiar to me, like Galadriel and Elrond. I can't wait. It's really exciting show.
It's amazing, isn't it? I have been waiting for a long time, and yeah, I've kind of watched quite a bit, and then I've delved and dipped a little bit into what's out there on the internet, but also at the same time, I kind of don't want to be too spoiled as well. So I'm picking and choosing a little bit about what I'm seeing, but super, super excited about it and to be podcasting about it with you.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. It's going to be really fun. And as we're about to talk about, you have some serious Lord of the Rings history.
Yeah, I do. I do a little bit. I thought we could start off today by talking about our experiences with Lord of the Rings. So how about you get started and tell us, how did you come to find out about Lord of the Rings? Can you remember your first experiences with it, the books or the movies, and tell us a little bit about that?
My first experience was actually a radio play version of The Hobbit that was put out by NPR in, I think, the 70s. My family had a, you know, box set of the cassette tapes. And at the time, we just didn't have access to American television. We were living overseas. And so we would, anything that was in English, we were so excited to listen to or play. And so we would play the Hobbit tapes like over and over again and listen to them as a family. And even when we moved back to the States and we had TV and everything, we still would often listen to it, especially in the winter. We were a jigsaw puzzle family, so we would like set up a jigsaw puzzle and we would put on our Hobbit tapes and have a fire going. And it was very cozy New England scene. And then from there, I found the books. They were just like in our house. I don't know whose they were, but I took them and read all of them over and over and over again, and loved them for many, many years. And then, of course, when the movies came out in the early 2000s, I was thrilled to see them. They were beautiful.
That's fantastic. I can just picture that scene, the jigsaws and listening to The Hobbit. That's so beautiful. What a really cool way to kind of get yourself into that world. That's fantastic.
It was really fun. And I still have the tapes, but you can also download the NPR radio play from like Apple Music or whatever. It's out there.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, there is so much out there. And I think a lot of people were familiar or came to the world of it through the movies. But there's so many people who have stories of the, you know, reading or listening to the earlier material earlier on in their life, which is really cool. So that was kind of my experience too. So my dad was always into Tolkien. So we always had Hobbit and Lord of the Rings around the house. So I remember reading The Hobbit and starting The Lord of the Rings when I was young. I think they probably, mum and dad probably read them to us when we were small. And then, you know, they started to talk about the fact that they were going to be filming these three films right here in New Zealand. So if anyone hadn't noticed, I'm a New Zealander from my Kiwi accent. And so the big news was that they were going to be filming here in New Zealand. And I actually got a chance to be an extra on The Two Towers, which is the second of the three films. And I got into that because my dad was actually an extra. They had a general casting call and his workplace got approached and he ended up doing it. So I got to go up for 3 days and shoot at the location for Edoras, and that was absolutely amazing. Then, of course, as soon as I'd done that, I had to go back and reread all the books just to refresh myself and get excited for the movies again. I can see myself on screen, which is kind of fun. And, you know, that sort of really just got me so excited and so into the whole world of it, getting to see the location and all the actors and everything. I won't go into too much detail here, but I did do a wee chat with Jason on the Zhead Chit Chat. So if you're a Patreon member, you can go ahead and listen to that. And yeah, it was a really cool experience. So after that, I actually had the opportunity to go up to Wellington to the premiere of The Two Towers and watch the midnight screening.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It was not the world premiere for The Two Towers. That was somewhere overseas. But at The Two Towers premiere in Wellington, there was most of the cast were there and they had a whole red carpet set up and everything. And at The Two Towers premiere, the producer basically kind of corralled a New Line into agreeing to have the world premiere of The Return of the King in Wellington. So they kind of announced it in front of everyone and then it had to be a thing. So that was amazing. So that was all set for the following year. The Return of the King world premiere, there were 100,000 people on the streets watching this parade. The red carpet was 400 metres long, right down Courtney Place in Wellington. They had a parade of all of these elves and orcs dressed in armour and costume, and the whole cast were there. They had built a replica of Bag End right outside the theatre. It was absolutely amazing and incredible to witness. And to that premiere, I actually did get to witness on my first Lord of the Rings tour. I became a Lord of the Rings tour guide after this experience of being an extra, and I was a tour guide for Red Carpet Tours, which is an amazing company, the absolute best way to see the Lord of the Rings locations and obviously all the rest of the scenery of New Zealand. And I did 2 week tours of the country visiting all of the Lord of the Rings locations. And I did that for 2 years, which was absolute dream job. I was a paid Lord of the Rings nerd and got to go to all the locations, dress up in costumes, play with action figures in the locations and meet amazing people from all around the world. So that was full immersion into the Lord of the Rings universe at yeah. that time. So absolutely amazing memory of my life. So yeah, that was 20 years ago and the tours are still going strong. We had a little break with COVID and the country being shut down for two and a bit years, but everything's open now and people have come back in droves to join the red carpet tours. So if you're ever thinking of coming to New Zealand, that's an amazing way to see the country.
Oh, and I would love that.
And meet like-minded Lord of the Rings geeks.
I've always wanted to spend time in Bilbo Baggins's Hobbit Hole. I remember a line from like the first paragraph of the book that says, it was a hobbit hole, and that means comfort. And I've just always wanted to see it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you can visit Hobbiton now. So when we did the tours, when we first did the tours, the place where they filmed Hobbiton was just on somebody's farm, and they had started to kind of let us go and do visits there as a tour company. And then they kind of realized they were onto a good thing. And now it's this multi-million dollar operation where they have now dressed all of the sets again. It looks exactly like it did in the films. They kept all of the set dressing and everything there after filming The Hobbit. And you can go and Hobbiton looks exactly like in the movies. You can go up to the steps of Bag End and you can't go in because the interior locations were filmed on a studio set, but You can go right up to the steps and sit outside the door and sit on the wee bench and everything like that. So it's pretty special. Peter Jackson actually had the set from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the interior set for Bag End, shifted to his land, to his garden, and installed in the ground as a hobbit hole. So that's actually his guest house. If you ever become really good friends with Peter Jackson, you can go and stay in Bag End.
Oh, that's amazing. That is so cool.
Yeah. Oh. So apparently Elijah Wood, whenever he comes to New Zealand, he goes and stays with PJ in his hobbit house. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so we have a little bit of background there about our fandom. We're both fans of the genre, and excited to be podcasting. There's been a lot of kind of history, I guess, of Middle Earth being on screen. You know, you talked a bit about the radio adaptation. There's also been animated and live action shorts in 1967 and 1971. There was a TV special in 1977 as well. And then they did another animated big screen adaptation in 1978. And then, of course, we've talked about Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy, covering the three books with three movies from 2001 to 2003. And then, you know, it was just a short wait of 9 years until The Hobbit came out. Again, three movies made out of quite a short book.
Yeah.
From 2012 to 2014. And then now we're finally here with The Rings of Power.
It's and the Rings of Power is a prequel. So, I mean, I guess if you can say something thousands of years earlier is a prequel. So it's all new story that none of us have seen before. And it's going to be really exciting to visit Middle Earth and see how it all came about and this history of the rings.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Like you say, it's a prequel thousands of years before. But what's exciting about that is, of course, the elves live for thousands of years. So we do see some of those familiar characters. It's not like it's a whole bunch of completely new characters, but we get to see sort of the backstory, I guess, of some of the ones that we're familiar with.
It's so exciting. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So what is this show going to be all about? I guess one way that we can introduce this for everybody is to give the official spiel about the show from the Amazon press kit. So this is what they have to say. The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, brings to screens for the very first time the heroic legends of the fabled Second Age of Middle-earth's history. This epic drama is set thousands of years before the events of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, and will take viewers back to an era in which great powers were forged, kingdoms rose to glory and fell to ruin, unlikely heroes were tested, hope hung by the finest of threads, and the greatest villain that ever flowed from Tolkien's pen threatened to cover all the world in darkness. From the darkest depths of the Misty Mountains to the majestic forests of the elf capital of Lindon, to the breathtaking island kingdom of Numenor, to the farthest reaches of the map, these kingdoms and characters will carve out legacies that live on long after they are gone.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Isn't that cool? Just even reading it gets me really excited, just thinking about the different locations as well. You know, the fact that they're going to be showing Numenor is just this kind of, to me, from reading the books, this kind of ethereal, conceptual kind of idea of a place that you don't ever really get described. So to see what they come up with on screen is going to be amazing.
It's going to be beautiful. I mean, what we've seen already from what they've released is just gorgeous.
Isn't it? Yeah.
I wanted to tell people a little bit about how the show itself came about. Interestingly, the Tolkien estate initiated this. They approached both Amazon and Netflix, and as you know, we don't know, but maybe other platforms and companies as well, asking them if they would be interested, and Amazon was. Christopher Tolkien, who was J.R.R. Tolkien's son, was in charge of the estate at the time the deal was made in 2017. He passed away 3 years later in 2020 after production had already begun, and his son, Simon Tolkien, took over. The production has invited him to be involved, which is a first time someone from the Tolkien family has had direct involvement with a film production. We don't really know what his involvement was, though, but I'm really glad to know that a Tolkien had a hand in it. And so we can feel good about what they've created and that it'll be close to Tolkien's vision of this world.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. And, you know, I think I have heard a little bit on the internet about, oh, Amazon, you know, they're just this huge company and are they going to ruin and all this kind of stuff. And I think there's a couple of things in there that are reassuring to me. One, that the Tolkien estate approached them. So, you know, they entrusted them from the beginning. And the second, that they did involve someone from Tolkien's family. I know that Roy Tolkien, the professor's grandson, was he visited the set a few times on the original trilogy with Peter Jackson. And he was actually an extra, featured extra in one of the scenes. And I remember seeing him at the premiere party as well. But I don't know that he was involved in the kind of concept or, you know, sort of working on it. So this is really exciting that Simon Tolkien is involved with that. It's fantastic. So the just going back to the kind of history, I guess, and when it's set, I noticed that they talk about the Second Age. So for those of you not familiar about the ages of Middle-earth, the history of Middle-earth is broken into four ages. Each lasts around 3,000 to 4,000 years. So the events of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, which most people are familiar with, took place as the Third Age ended and the Fourth Age, the Age of Men, began. So this show is set in the Second Age, so it's at least sort of 3,000 or 4,000 years before Frodo and Sam and Bilbo and Gollum had their adventures. But of course, as I said before, some of the races, such as the elves and the wizards, in these stories live for millennia, so we're going to see some familiar characters. It will be really interesting to see what they are able to include and not include, because the showrunners have said that they've got the rights solely to the Fellowship of the Ring, the Two Towers, the Return of the King, the Appendices, and the Hobbit, and that's it. So they don't have the rights to the Silmarillion or the Unfinished Tales or the History of Middle-earth. So there's a lot of these other works that Tolkien wrote that kind of back up the long history of Middle-earth, and they had to be quite careful about what they could include and not. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they manage that. And I guess, as we know from the title of the show, it's going to be set around most of the time of the kind of forging of the Rings of Power, how Sauron gained power in the centuries before the stories that we already know. And it looks like it'll span quite a large portion of this time, so it's quite possible that the story from that age is going to be quite condensed. And remembering that we've got, you know, five seasons of the show, so it's going to be quite a lot to cover.
Yeah. So as you said, there's going to be five seasons, and each season will be 8 to 10 episodes. And the press so far says that this is the most expensive TV show ever produced, which is a really high bar after, you know, things like Game of Thrones and the new House of the Dragon, which are clearly very highly resourced. I imagine a lot of that money went into the beautiful costumes and sets. I'm pretty excited about all of that. Not to mention that there's got to be tons of travel and like flying people all over the place to all these different locations.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the first season was filmed here in New Zealand, and I'm going to be, you know, watching with an eagle eye to see how much I can kind of see of locations. You know, I think in the trailer, they showed a lot of epic kind of grand scenes, which are probably scenes that have been either digitally created or digitally enhanced. So I'm going to be really excited to see if I can recognize some locations from around New Zealand in the first season. Sadly for us here in New Zealand, they have shipped the production now off offshore back to the mother country of England for the remaining season. So again, it'll be interesting to see if there's any difference in what we can see on screen. I do feel like it'll be a little bit more digital, even for the first season, than The Lord of the Rings was. The first trilogy, The Fellowship, The Two Towers, and The Return of the King were shot almost entirely on location, with only really interior sets for the kind of interior scenes. And there was very little digitally enhanced in terms of the actual landscapes. And that was one of the criticisms, I guess, that I saw from some fans for The Hobbit, was that it was so much more digital with fewer exterior locations. So it'll be interesting to see how they manage that.
Yeah, these two showrunners are not familiar to me, J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay, but they are also attached to write the next Star Trek movie and a new adaptation of Flash Gordon, Godzilla versus King Kong, Micronauts, Midas, Goliath. I don't even know what some of these are. The Deadliest Warrior and Boilerplate. They also worked on Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah, I Googled them, and if you Google these two guys, JD Payne and Patrick McKay, they actually look like a couple of elves. Like, they've got short hair, but if you can imagine them with long blonde hair, they do look kind of elvish. So maybe they've got the right spirit. They've been working together since they were in high school, apparently. So they've obviously got a good thing going on together and seem pretty dedicated to bringing this world to life. So that's pretty exciting.
Recently, they wrote the Jungle Cruise movie for Dwayne Johnson that's based on the Disneyland ride. I haven't seen that movie. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it. It was pretty cute. It was pretty cool. And you think about it, if they can make an entire movie out of a 3-minute ride, you know, that's pretty cool. They've got some good storytelling skills.
Exactly. I have faith in them.
Yeah, me too. The other thing I'm excited about with this show is the music. So Bear McCreary is going to be doing the music for this, and I think he's going to be familiar to a lot of people who watch these big TV shows. He did Battlestar Galactica, Outlander, which I know is a fan fave for a lot of people, Black Sails, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Snowpiercer, and of course The Walking Dead, which a lot of our listeners will be really familiar with. Howard Shore, who composed the music for the Lord of the Rings trilogies, has written the opening track of the soundtrack album, which is going to be really nice to hear. And then Amazon's doing something really cool for this show. After each episode, they're going to release a weekly soundtrack album, and that's going to contain the entirety of the score for each episode, plus some additional bonus tracks. So that's really special. Every week, a whole new soundtrack to look forward to.
I'm excited about that because I always want the music from shows and movies that I watch. And usually you have to wait like almost a year before they release a soundtrack. This is very cool.
Isn't it special? It's really cool. So they've obviously put a lot of work into that. And, you know, having the music written and sorted and mixed and everything ready to go as soon as it's released is going to be really amazing. So that's special. And I guess one of those benefits of it being a huge company that has so much content out there with their visual content, but also their music stream. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And Bear McCreary. I mean,
yeah,
he's the best.
Of course. Of course, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. So I thought we could talk a little bit about some of the cast and the characters that we're going to see. So we already mentioned that there's a couple of familiar faces. So Galadriel is probably the one that's the most familiar to people. And in this series, she's going to be played by Morfydd Clark, who's a Welsh actress. And she has been seen before on screen. She played Maud in St. Maud. She played Dora Spenlow in The Personal History of David Copperfield, and she was Mina Harker in Dracula and also Sister Clara in His Dark Materials. So I'm not particularly familiar with her, but she does look like a familiar face. I haven't seen a lot of those shows. And she plays Galadriel. Galadriel was the Lady of the Woods in Lothlorien, and she ruled with Caliborn, her husband, one of the greatest elves in Middle-earth, and she surpassed nearly all others in beauty, knowledge, and power. And she was played by Cate Blanchett in Peter Jackson's trilogy, at which time the character was likely to be around 7,000 or 8,000 years old. So we're seeing her here four or so thousand years ago in her younger days, and we get to see some of the background of what she did back in the day in the Second Age.
That's so exciting. Also, Elrond will be a character who people might remember from the original Lord of the Rings trilogy. He's being played by Robert Arameo, and he's an English actor. He played the role of young Eddard Stark in the sixth season of the series Game of Thrones on HBO. And in 2021, he starred in the Netflix psychological thriller miniseries Behind Her Eyes. Elrond is a half-elven character, as he is descended from both elves and men. He's the Lord of Rivendell and was a mighty elf ruler of old who dwelt in Middle-earth from the First Age to the beginning of the Fourth Age. So he's got to be a good 8,000 years old as well.
Exactly.
He was the father of Eladan and Elrohir and Arwen Undomiel, the eventual wife of Aragorn II, Elisar, who was, of course, the king in Return of the King.
That's it. So we remember Elrond from the original trilogy. And yeah, great character and quite pivotal to the plot. And of course, Arwen's father. So he marries Galadriel's daughter and they have Arwen. So it's going to be really cool to see this played by Robert Aramayo. I am familiar with him from the Game of Thrones and also from Behind Her Eyes. That was an amazing show. If anyone hasn't seen Behind Her Eyes on Netflix, it's a psychological thriller. It's only about 5 or 6 episodes, I think. It's fantastic, really chilling and really great. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in this. It's going to be really cool.
Cool. There's another character, Gil Galad, played by Benjamin Walker. He was in Jessica Jones and some other TV shows. He plays an elf. He was the last High King of the Noldor in Middle-earth. He formed the last alliance of elves and men alongside King Elendil and led the elves to war against Sauron during this time.
Yeah, so we saw him really briefly in the prologue of the Fellowship of the Ring when we see that big battle with Sauron. This is going to be played, obviously, by a slightly younger actor, so we're going to see him in there as well. And there's going to be some other characters that we've seen before too. And again, it's ones that we've seen either in the prologue or in sort of flashback moments in the original trilogy. We see Elendil, who was the greatest warrior of all of the Dúnedain. He was a man of Numenor. And he was the one, if you remember from the prologue, he was killed by Sauron in the prologue of Fellowship of the Ring. Then his son Isildur comes along and he cut the ring from Sauron's hand. And he was the one who defeated Sauron in that great battle. But then, of course, the ring kind of took over and he refused to destroy it. Elrond tried to get him to destroy it and throw it into Mount Doom, into the fire from whence it came. But he wouldn't do that. So he was later on killed by orcs and the ring was lost. And then, of course, found by Gollum. And then you get that whole rest of the story. And so he's going to be another character in there that we're going to probably recognize a little bit as well.
It's exciting. There's also going to be brand new characters who are not part of the canon. There's one named Princess Diza, played by Sofia Nomvete. She's mostly worked in theater, and this is going to be her first time on the big screen. She doesn't appear in any of the Tolkien works.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. They are going to put a few non-canon characters in there and, you know, they're fleshing out a story which is, as I said before, it's pretty basic or pretty lightly covered in a lot of the histories or what they're allowed to use. So they are going to be fleshing this out with some new characters. So it's going to be exciting to see what they do with those. And I just have a little intuition that Princess Disa is going to end up being a bit of a fan favorite. I've seen her in the trailers. I've seen the pictures of her and I just think she looks strong and fierce. And I think she's going to be hopefully playing a really cool role that we can get into. So I'm excited about that. And, you know, I've seen a lot on the internet and in fact, I've sort of stopped reading comments on some of the pages because there are a lot of really diehard Tolkien fans out there. And sometimes people can get very, very proprietary or very kind of possessive of the material, justifiably, because it means so much to so many people. It's such a special world that Tolkien created. And so I think people can be a little worried, a little scared that it's going to be messed up or that it's not going to be portrayed how they would imagine it themselves or how, you know, it might be different from Peter Jackson's version, which might suit some people, it might not suit other people. There's so many opinions out there and so many people worried or excited or a bit of both. And one of the things that I'm wanting to do is to keep a really open mind and open heart about going into this show. And I wanted to sort of reassure some people as well that that was really Tolkien's idea too, is that he wanted to create this world that was more or less a connected legend, was his words, to create this world that people could then go on to reimagine. So I'll read a quote to you from J.R.R. Tolkien. This is something that he said in 1951 when he was writing to his publisher. And he said, "I would draw some of the great tales in fullness and leave many only placed in the scheme and sketched. The cycles should be linked to a majestic whole, yet leave scope for other minds and hands wielding paint and music and drama." So to me, that sounds like he created this world, but he was happy for people to embellish it or to reinvent it or to go ahead and reimagine or imagine further the work that he'd started. So I really love that. It really gives me hope that there's a sort of a license for people to enjoy and to create more.
I love it. I mean, the world he created was very rich and it had this huge history behind it that invites the imagination of creators to flesh out the stories and bring their own touch to it. I personally like seeing different people's interpretations of similar or related material. I think it makes for a richer landscape. And if you don't like one interpretation, just move on and you can enjoy the next one.
Exactly. I agree. And, you know, I think that we can be prepared to be blown away. That's going to be amazing. It's going to be special. And as long as we keep open minds and just get swept up in the story, I think it's going to be absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So if you're really into Lord of the Rings, you might have seen or read or looked up a whole lot of stuff on the internet already. If you're not sure where to start, I can recommend a site called theonering.net. They have some incredible information on there, lots of articles, some opinion pieces, all kinds of stuff. And theonering.net was set up actually 20 years ago, around the time of the filming of the original trilogy. And it was actually started by a friend of mine, Erica, here in New Zealand. And they actually wanted to have a way to share with the fans some of the news and information that was coming out about the filming of the show, of which there was almost nothing released. So it was almost like a bit of a spy network. They would go out and try and find out as much as they could and then post it online. And there's a pretty cool story about how that started, which you can have a look at if you go over there to theonering.net. But awesome information there. Read whatever you want. Honestly, there's so much out there. If you want to just let the show wash over you and enjoy it, or if you want to delve deep into discussions and conversation and history, there's so much to look for. So fill your boots and get into it.
Fantastic. And the first episodes, they're going to drop two episodes. For me, on the East Coast of the United States, they drop on September 1st, I think at 9 p.m. But for you, Anwen, it will be September 2nd, yes?
So we live in the future here in New Zealand. we are about 5 hours behind, but on the day ahead from you guys. So it's going to be interesting. But what I see from the release here, from the press kit, they are actually releasing pretty much simultaneously all around the world. So it will be 1 p.m. on the 2nd for us on the Friday. But that is actually the exact same time of day as you guys see it, which is going to be on the 1st for you. So confusing, but in real time, everybody gets to see this thing at the exact same moment, which is pretty special and, yeah, makes it easy for us, Hopini.
Yeah, and no spoilers either. There won't be people posting online, "I just watched it and this is what happens." Because
exactly.
We all have a chance.
I love that.
Yeah,
and it just means that, you know, I love these shows that drop week to week rather than, because I personally don't have time to binge an entire series in a day or two. And so watching it week to week, savoring it, thinking about it, podcasting about it, hearing everybody's opinions and thoughts on it, and then going fresh into the next episode together is so special. I really love that.
I do too. I love a lot of the shows on Netflix, but I really do not enjoy their drop everything at once release schedule. It's overwhelming. I don't think I get as much out of the show when I watch it all at once. And I don't have the willpower to force myself to watch it week to week. Like, I'll just watch it all at once. I'll stay up all night. So I like it better, this, you know, dropping once a week schedule. It's much more suitable to me.
Yeah, it's going to be special. Fantastic. Well, we're really, really excited to join in with everybody and watching this show. And so for today, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you so much. And I hope you'll be joining us for the rest of the season.
If you want to write in or leave us a message, we would really love to hear what you think about the show. If you don't get it in time for each episode, we will play it for the previous episode. So please just write in, let us know what you think or what you're even excited about if you haven't seen the show yet. We can't wait to hear what your anticipatory excitements are, as well as your thoughts after the show. And you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, you should also check out some of our other shows. Podcastica has a lot of content on the website, and we're covering a bunch of shows right now. I'm personally covering She-Hulk on Disney+, and it's been really silly and really fun so far.
fantastic. I actually haven't started watching, but when I do, I'll be listening along with you guys. We've also got Dragoncast, which is covering House of the Dragon, which I know is another massively anticipated show, and I feel like could have quite a big crossover with fans with Rings of Power, so that's cool. And then, of course, you've got Sandmancast and Lock and Key. There's all kinds of shows over there at podcastica.com, so go and check it out. And on the next episode of this podcast, we'll be covering The Rings of Power Season 1, Episode 1.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
May we be a light for you in dark places.
When all other lights go out.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.